It's Current State on WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Former U.S. Senator Robert Griffin of Michigan was laid to rest yesterday in Traverse City. Mr. Griffin died late last week at the age of 91. After serving in World War II, the Detroit native began practicing law in Traverse City. The Republican eventually served in the U.S. House and Senate for a total of 22 years until he was narrowly defeated for re-election to the Senate by Democrat Carl Levin in 1978. Mr. Griffin then went on to serve as a justice on the Michigan Supreme Court for 8 years between 1986 and 1994. His tenure in Washington may be best remembered for his suggestion that President Richard Nixon, whom Senator Griffin referred to as a friend, resign from office after the so-called smoking gun incident in the Watergate investigation. Our next guest is among the many in Michigan who came to know Senator Griffin. To share a few of his recollections, we welcome former Governor John Engler to Current State. Governor Engler, welcome.
Well, good morning, Mark. Good to be with you.
Same here. It's been a while. When did you first meet Robert Griffin? What were the circumstances?
Actually, it probably goes all the way back to the fall of 1970 when I was a absolute rookie candidate, first time running for the House of Representatives, and I think I've got a picture of Bob Griffin coming through Mount Pleasant, just making a stop at the, you know, as often as done during a campaign, at the campaign headquarters. In those days, the county Republican Party had a headquarters, and some activity would be there, but
And you turned 22 years of age, as I recall, in that fall. you went on
that's
to become.
Right. I had just turned 22, I guess, at that time.
You became the youngest state rep in the history of the state there, with your victory. Did you get to know him a lot better? I know he went on to serve in the state Supreme Court during your first few years as governor. Did you get to know him better in those years?
Well,
or did,
then
or
I,
what?
Then of course I did get to know him over the years when he was in Washington. I, in 1978, which was his last year, and remember, he had actually announced he lost that very close election to Howard Baker for the majority leader's job. It was a 19-18 loss, and so one vote, and things might have been different. He probably would not have announced he was going to retire, but he had announced his retirement, and then Governor Milliken, I think, was chiefly responsible for getting him to, you know, change his mind and re-enter the race. And there's a whole lot of political history involved with that, because his decision to come back into the race left Phil Rupee, who was a congressman from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, who announced for the Senate and everyone thought would be likely the Senate nominee. He ended up being odd man out. He left the Congress and didn't have a chance to run for a higher office, and his seat in Congress was taken by the former Senate leader, Bob Davis. So that all those dominoes started falling, but as it turned out, the fateful decision for Senator Griffin to get back into the race, one of the things that he was criticized by Senator Levin, who was a councilman from the city of Detroit at the time, was his attendance record, which, of course, had been, you know, impeccable throughout his entire career. But in that last year, when he wasn't going to be a candidate, he'd missed some votes. And lo and behold, that came back to be one of the issues. And 78 was kind of an odd election. And it was that midterm after, President Ford had lost. It wasn't the worst year, but it wasn't the best.
Yeah. What made Senator Griffin tick? What was really at the heart of this man?
Well, he was a man of great integrity. He was smart. He was tough. I mean, he was the kind of person, when he made up his mind, he made up his mind. I mean, he knew what he wanted. He listened and then kind of took a position. And even in his own political career, he ran at one time against in kind of a complicated race back when he got started in the House of Representatives. He got the opportunity to move to the Senate by appointment, and then you know, moved up kind of quickly, but he was a great asset to Gerry Ford in the House, helped him become the leader there, and then very quickly moved up in the Senate leadership ranks. But I think it was because of his integrity. He didn't, when Bob Griffin told you something, that was going to be the case. I think he also, you know, he surrounded himself with good people, and he worked hard. He was a good senator for the state, and he left, and I think he found that he had, you know, more to give, and he'd been a member of the Judiciary Committee. He was a very good lawyer, so he was kind of a natural for the Supreme Court. I think he could have probably been on the United States Supreme Court, but he no question, he did a very nice job on the Michigan Supreme Court for that one term that he served.
We're talking with John Engler about the life of Senator Robert Griffin, who passed away, the longtime Michigan legislator, served in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate and on the state Supreme Court for many years. I'm reminded of Woodward and Bernstein's description of Senator Griffin in The Final Days. They described his recommendation that President Nixon resign as, quote, bold steps for a normally cautious man. Would you describe him as cautious?
Well, I think he was, you remember, he was a leader, and I think that he was somebody who did not speak off the cuff, in the sense that he didn't if he said something, it was because he'd thought about it. He didn't just pop off, you know. And so I think what was significant is that he was a man who was respected, and once he kind of came to the conclusion, there was nobody could doubt Bob Griffin's Republican credentials, and so once he kind of concluded that it was impossible for President Nixon to continue to serve, and he then made that known, and of course in his own style, which I think was so effective. He didn't run trying to get in front of a camera.
Okay.
I mean, this was privately communicated, but done so with force and conviction.
Sounds like he was maybe more serious than the average guy. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think the process was more serious than actually. I think we actually had senators who were truly senators. I mean, I think they looked at. I mean, look what he did with the Landrum-Griffin Act, which was a bipartisan piece of legislation, but it dealt with a very tough issue on sort of the collective bargaining issues and the labor management kinds of disputes. And he put together a bipartisan group to get that done at a time when I think a lot of people thought, boy, that would be an uphill task. Look what he did with the Abe Fortas nomination. Again, he was somebody who, you know, sort of had that bulldog tenacity, but he didn't end up with immediately everybody going to partisan camps. I mean, when Griffin spoke up, people, you know, took notice. And boy, if Bob Griffin is saying this, there must be something to it.
He had gravitas.
Well, it turned out there was.
Gravitas, I guess might be the word.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. And I think the Senate in those days, you know, the old workhorse, show horse kind of comparison that gets made, I think there were a lot more workhorses than in those days, and they were some pretty fine workhorses, and I think you end up today with maybe a lot more show horses. I mean, I don't think that in Bob Griffin's day, most first-term senators thought they were ready to go into the White House.
Governor John,
that's not what they did.
Governor John Engler is our guest here on Current State. We're remembering Senator Robert Griffin of Michigan. It's interesting, too, even after more than 20 years representing Michigan in Washington, he still went on to call his years on the state Supreme Court his highest calling when he left that court. Isn't
that wonderful? I mean, Well, I think there is something, you know, certainly, you know, ennobling about that service in the judiciary at the highest level, and he went in with a, you know, the kind of background. I mean, he was a very good lawyer. People, I mean, University of Michigan Law School. He was he was a good practitioner before he was in Congress, and you know, those years on the Judiciary Committee, the years dealing with a lot of, you know, complex legal questions. He was no slouch when it came to being a good lawyer.
Yeah.
And remember, I mean, this, it kind of runs in the family. He's got his son now, Rick Griffin, who's a judge on
the Circuit
Court of Appeals.
So, yeah, that's right.
And he's done very well there.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your life today here before we let you go. So there's other things to talk about here. For 5 years, you've been president of the Business Roundtable, working with U.S. CEOs on advancing policy and the economy. We've been growing the national economy modestly, but fairly steadily. By the same token, we may have hit a bit of a slowdown now, but how do we get the economy out of this 2.5% growth range and get it at least maybe above 3%? How does that happen?
Well, there could not have been a better article written than the one that Phil Graham had in the Wall Street Journal yesterday about, killing the goose. and basically he was talking about just the point you're making, that here we've got an economy that's been positive, but when that performance is looked at, I think he had a statistic that would take us more than 30 years to get the kind of economic recovery that would have been typical if we'd have grown at the historic growth rates coming out of a recession. So in other words, cut through all of that, the recovery is the slowest we've ever recorded coming out of a recession. And the impact on that is thousands of dollars per family in wages that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
It's millions of jobs that aren't there. The unemployment numbers are better, but they're really masked by the fact that people have left the workforce. And and you'll hear something, baby boomers are retiring. Yes, many baby boomers are retiring. But frankly, many of them found themselves faced with retirement because the job wasn't there.
Governor Engler, we gotta let it go at that. I'm up against a hard break. We want to thank you for joining us to remember the life of Senator Robert Griffin. John Engler, thank you.
Great to be with you again after all these years, Mark.
That's right. We'll talk again.
Bye-bye.